You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview with Alex Studd and Andy Holding, looking ahead to Leopardstown's card on Thursday evenings. Also action in Limerick on Thursday, so plenty for Irish fans to get their teeth stuck into. We're going to focus on Leopardstown, seven races to look forward to, two Group 3s as well, on what is a pretty decent Thursday evening card. Hello, Mr. Holding, how are you?
Hello, Andy.
Everything alright?
Yeah, all good in my world.
Good. Good to hear. As I said, seven races, and it's decent fare tonight, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes. Probably you would say that two-year-olds take centre stage tonight. In fact, that's a definite. We've got the Silver Flash Stakes for fillies. Three or four really nice horses who've won first time up, all lock horns. And then we've got the Colts in the Torres Stakes, where we get another chance to see the beast, which is Sanus Per Aquam for the Bulger Stable.
A horse that could definitely be going places. Is a short enough price today, but likely to take the beating. We'll get to that race in just a few moments, but we'll start with the 5.50, which is a maiden over a mile. Not a whole lot of form to go off here, Andy. And as such, we've got an unrace type who is the market leader as we speak, General MacArthur for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. At the time of recording, which is about 10:45 on Thursday, is a 4-5 shot. Pretty short, and I know it's hard to tip up an unraced type, but if we don't get any non-runners here, Andy, are there any with experience that you like each way?
Yeah, very interesting race to begin with, Alex. Several choicely bred newcomers, most notably General MacArthur, as you quite rightly pointed out, caught by Warfront. Of course, Warfront's been responsible for quite a few of the Aidan O'Brien bigger two-year-old winners this season, and it's a race which is very much synonymous with Aidan O'Brien. He's won this race six of the last 7 years. In fact, the only time he got one beat here was JF Kennedy in this race last year, who got beat by Jim Bulger's Charge at Hall of Fame. I wonder if Lightning could strike twice here tonight, because Jim Bulger's got a filly in this race, Kiel Nog, filly by Tier Filly. Of course, Jim Bulger himself is doing really well with his two-year-olds as well so far this season. So in a race which could develop between the two, it's obviously going to be interesting to see how the market develops. All the talk and all the expectations surrounding General MacArthur. But if you're looking for an obvious each-way choice, just based on how the two-year-olds are running from the Bulger Stable, that Kion and the Og could be a little bit of smidgen of value at 5-1.
OK, so we're siding with the Bulger horse?
I would probably go with her each-way, yeah.
OK. Next up is the 6.20 in Apprentice Handicap over a mile. One non-runner as we speak, that's Merrin Moo. Interesting runners in here, Andy. You got Regal Power, who I believe you were keen on yesterday. Am I right in saying that?
I did tip Regal Power yesterday, yes. And that
is a horse that won. Whether it turns up again, we don't know. But as we speak, is the outsider of the field. So definitely an interesting one. You've also got Corbus, who is joint favourite as we speak. Another one who comes here off the back of a fairly recent win, that one a week ago. Odyssey's the consistent one in the lineup, and you've got horses that have been capable of better, the likes of Elusive in Paris and Knights Templar, who are, I wouldn't say solid, but do have form in the book, if you like, if they can show it today. Looks a tricky little race this, Andy.
It does, because we don't know whether Regal Power will run again. If he does, then he's obviously got to be a contender. I'm absolutely flabbergasted to see him in such a big price, 12, 14, even 16 to 1 as big as. You'd think a horse that won last night just by one by its name would be one of the favourites here, so I'm not sure what's going on there. Obviously, Regal Power does run Nace really well. That was one of the reasons why I went for that horse last night. He does seem to burrow his way up that far side rail and get a head of steam up. Quite not so good here at Leopardstown in his only visit, but he's an interesting one if he does take his chance. I'd probably go with Corbus here. And in fact, I'm going to mention another horse as well. But Corbus has got a fantastic record here at Leopardstown. If you take away his one bad run on really soft to heavy ground, his form figures here on good or good to firm ground read 1-2-2-1. So he's yet to be out the first two in four starts. Interestingly as well, he's ridden by Conor McGovern as well, who rode at Knights Templar last time out. So connections of Corbus, clearly looking to get hold of the services of Conor McGovern. And he's creating a little bit of a splash as well in the apprentice ranks. Of course, he's attached to Mickey Halford. And he's been seen to good effect on two of Mickey's horses, the old stalwarts of late, very much like Boys Ride, Rummaging and Paddy the Celeb. But he's shown a good deal of tactical nous and power in the saddle as well. So I do think he's an apprentice going places, as is the horse who comes here off the back of a win here last time out. So he's going to be the number one choice. But the other one to mention is this Ferguson, who could be a very tricky one for punters to get their head around. He's a three-year-old who's had the three runs. He's got a mark of 72. But he was involved in a very good maiden here the last day. That was back on the 5th of June. It went the way of the Jim Balder trained night major. Sorry, law major. It hasn't been out since. But the form of that race has worked out really well. Monolite, who was second, he's won since off a mark of 80. And back in the field was Frozen Lake from the John Ox camp. Podcasters will know that I've tipped that horse several times this season. He's rated 84. So, yeah, this Davy Marnane horse at 72 could be a little bit of a sneaky one. So I'd probably go with Corbus as my number one choice, but I'd just have to have a little half a point win on Ferguson.
OK. So two against the field, if you like.
Yeah.
In the 6.20. The 6.50 is next up, and it is a Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs. Very few of these runners have done much wrong to date, and at least those with experience. Alice Springs and Tanaza for Aidan O'Brien and Dermot Weld, respectively. The front two in the market as we speak. 7-1 bar. That's at 10-11 on a Thursday. Of those two, Andy, which do you prefer? Alice Springs is on the drift this morning. Tanaza's been backed.
Well, both of them have got almost perfect symmetry in their victories first time out. Both of them quickened up well. Both over 7 furlongs. And they also beat a very much consistent guideline in the shape of Miss Gossip, who was back in third on both occasions. Of the two of them, visually, I was more impressed with Tanaza. She really did look a really smart filly when she won here. I think that's also another point to make. She's won here over the stiff gradients of Leopardstown, and she can cope with a very short straight, because often horses that are sort of too far behind can't win here if they haven't got a good turn of foot, and she displayed it in abundance by burying a decent field with a very good sectional time from three out. She beat a horse called Minding, who's subsequently gone on to one. Of course, as the third has as well, Miss Gossip. There's nothing to detract from Alice Springs' form over in the Curragh. She was equally impressive. She was also very strongly fancied on the day. She took a maiden that was won by Starber Companion Words the previous year. So it's clearly a race over the Derby weekend, which is always producing horses down the line who will go on to make up into pattern race performers. And the two of them lock horns here at the head of the betting. Of the two, I just prefer Tanaza, as I mentioned. But I can't go and talk about this race without mentioning a horse I've been waiting to run for quite a while. Not sure why she hasn't been on the track since the back end of April. But the speed figure that Madam Thunder produced down in Nace on that occasion was a staggering one, really, for a horse so young in its career and so, if you like, green and with so much untapped potential. It beat a couple of horses back in the field. They've both gone on to run really nice races. Subsequently in group races, a horse called Miss Katie May, who chased home a horse of Jessica Harrington's over the weekend. And Most Beautiful from the Davy Watchman camp has also won very impressively subsequently. And he's talked about as a group horse as well. So I certainly wouldn't underestimate Madam Thunder. And I would probably play this race accordingly. I'd probably go Tanaza, win, but I'd have a small little each way on Madden Thunder as well. 16-1 with William Hill, that looks far too big.
OK, next up is the 7.25. It is another Group 3 over 7 furlongs. And a really, really nice contest this, Andy. We mentioned before Sanis Paraquam as being a nice type. On the drift a little bit this morning, but I wouldn't imagine that's anything to worry about massively. 4-7 out to 4-6. Main danger looks to be Deauville for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien, who looked a nice type on debut. You've got some of the nice types in there as well, of course. Taking Liberties, unbeaten so far. Kevin Ryan sends this one over. Pat Smullen takes the ride. Is it hard to get away from the favourite here, Andy?
It is, yeah. I really like this horse. He's kind of grown on me a little bit as well, Alex. First time up, I thought he was workmanlike more than spectacular, but we've seen horses out of that race back on the 28th of June at the Curragh. Frank the Form, the third, has won subsequently. Two others down the field have both won. OK, Lieutenant General rather let the form down, but that aside, it looked a decent race. It was won in a good time, and he won going away. But it was his last performance which really made me stand up and take notice of how good this horse potentially could be. because he bred a horse called Port Douglas, who I tipped, and who was hugely impressive first time out over this course and distance. But to be fair, Jim Bulger's charge absolutely buried him completely. He went well clear in the closing stages, and it was a case of man against boys, really. He really is a big, strong, strapping son of Teofilio. Of course, Jim Bulger used to train Teofilio, and most of his offspring are by that colt, who's obviously doing really well as a stallion, and of course he stamps his horse really well. He's a brother to listed place winner, Morning Mix, who I seriously consider the podcast to stay on the right side of, and I see that Jim Bulger's entered him in the St. Ledger. I do think we're going to hear him big things of Morning Mix, and he's very much built like that horse. Dangers, well, obviously we've got to give respect to Deauville, who's one for one. He won at Listowel and Ground, that probably wouldn't have suited him. He looks a nice type. Taking Liberties, he did nothing wrong last time out at Pontefract, winning in a very fast time. And Lieutenant General has actually got the blinkers on for the first time out. Now, the headgear that's gone on a couple of Aidan O'Brien two-year-olds after they've been disappointing has paid off in rich dividends. Painted Cliffs and Shogun have both had blinkers on after they finished down the field and have won next time out pretty impressively. So he'd also be dangerous to write off completely. But I'm going to have to go with Sanis Parakaram. He's a bit skinny, but I think he's going to complete the hat-trick.
OK, the 8 o'clock is race 5 on the Leopardstown card. A mile and 2 furlongs the trip for this one. And some informed types got a post here, Andy. A few of them maybe get a little bit frustrating for win purposes, but many, many consistent types, and it's going to be pretty hard to split them here.
Yeah, I think Pullman Brown's a worthy favourite. He's been fairly consistent throughout the season. He's running quite a few decent three-year-old handicaps. Probably his best performance when he chased home Duke of Valentino at the Curragh 3 starts ago. He's done nothing wrong on his next 2 starts, and there's been a bit of money for him this morning, but I'd probably go with Mazzetta each way here. You might get sort of 4 or 5 to 1 for this horse, and she's fairly consistent and solid enough to put up from an each-way perspective. She's also run quite well here at the track. That was last year behind Starlet from the Weld stable, and she probably just found the ground and a little bit of an absence of two barriers to contend with last time out. We just found her out soft ground at Killarney. That wouldn't have suited her, but on a much better surface, which she's used to running on. Obviously, she's a regular at Dundalk as well. Then that terrain will certainly help this filly by Asamoah. With Pat Smullen on board, she looks as though she should at least give us a decent run for our money in that 8 o'clock.
OK, next up is the 8.35, the penultimate race on the card, a handicap over a mile and 6 furlongs, and a moderately short price favourite here for Aidan O'Brien in the form of Hobart, who stepped up on his first 3 runs, went upped in trip last time out. That said, you're up against some fairly consistent yardsticks here, and you wouldn't have to be a world beater to win, but is 7-4 a fair price this morning?
It wouldn't make that much of an appeal to me. It certainly wouldn't surprise me if he won, of course. I wouldn't sort of chucking myself off the stand, but he's got to do a couple of things. He's got to step up markedly on his overall form, he's got to step up on his speed figures, and he's got to prove that the headgear, which we're on for the first time, indeed works for the second time. All in all, a fairly skinny price at 7-4. And as the opposition has a little bit of strength in depth as well, he's also got quite a bit on his plate here. He's got Benkai, who was a good winner last time out down in Navan. Hurricane Sky is clearly a specialist at this track, and he was a bit unlucky the other day not to reel back in the high kicker who got first run in him. You've got Vinetti as well from the Halford stable, who's got a bit of back class as well and rang well here over course last time out. But the main one I think he's going to have to contend with here at Hobart is the other 3-year-old in the field. No great surprise that podcasters will know that I'm going to give another chance to Botany Bay. I really do rate this horse. I've been on him since he finished fourth on his debut in a good maiden down in Navan. I then tipped him here at Leopardstown 3 starts ago, and although he got beat in third, I suggested that the slowly run race and the distance of ground he had to cover that day was far too short for him. Then they upped him trip in a more galloping race the next time, and he won the Ulster Derby in very impressive fashion. Of course, he beat Fields of Athenry as well, who is a St. Ledger entry, and absolutely bolted up here at Leopardstown next time out, thus to boost the form. And also, to put the icing on the cake, Brightly Shining also won the third horse. Therefore, he was a bit disappointing he got beat the other day in a three-runner race, but I put that down to it being a slowly run tactical event, and he was far too keen in the hands of Frank Berry. Unfortunately, Connections didn't really have a game plan there. They probably should have gone on with Botany Bay and made plenty of use of him, but they decided to track Angel Raphael, and it ended up being a bit of a tactical disaster as he found nothing off the bridle in the home straight because he basically pulled himself into the ground. Hopefully today they'll go a much stronger gallop and he can settle him, switch him off, and he can come with a late run. I do really rate this horse, Botany Bay, and I suggest we stick with him. He's up in trip and he's back to the scene of a track where he's run well before. So 5-1, he's a decent bet in the 8.35.
The final race on the card is the 9.05, a race over a mile and two furlongs, and Salthouse heads affairs for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning at the time of recording. Cradle Mountain and Intasari next in. But Salthouse looks a pretty nice type here, Andy. Hasn't done a great deal wrong to date, and comes up against, well, horses that we know a lot about, apart from Intasari. What do you fancy in this?
Yeah, it's a nice three-year-old here. A lot of these have been running in decent handicaps, good speed figures. Zebek has got a couple of good numbers next to his name. Cradle Mountain's just been an amazing horse for Aidan O'Brien. He just keeps coming back and back time and time again. He seems to run every week, but it doesn't stop him performing up to a high level. He was a good second the other day down in Killarney behind Vitally Important in a very strongly run race. He's actually top of my figures, Cradle Mountain. So it does something for me to go against a horse who's got such a big number next to his name, but I'm going to do it on this particular occasion in favour of Salthouse, who I really do like. Although he hasn't knocked out the times that Cradle Mountain's done, I just like his mental attitude. I think he's a really tough horse. He's the kind of horse I think he's going to pay his way in perhaps pattern races over the down the years. And although he got beat the last day down in the Curra, I certainly wouldn't hold it against him. He was up against the older horses that day, but in behind him were two subsequent winners in the shape of Callin Alon and Paddy the Celeb. And he only just got fought out of it by Shandigan, of course, who's very tough and durable himself. Prior to that, he'd won here at this track, beating Dreamcraft and the aforementioned Botany Bay, who was back in third. He really quickened up well that day. This short straight seems to suit him, and he has got a really good turn of foot. So back to the scene of his course and distance win. In fact, his only win, Salthouse, could be another one for Jim Bolger on the card.
Okay, Salthouse the pick then in the lucky last. Great stuff, Mr. Holding. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.